All right, welcome to the Middle Age Money Man podcast. We are here doing an interview with Simplistic Steph, who has a website called Simplistic Steph at simplisticsteph.com. She also is one half of the dynamic duo of Simple Minded Millennial, which is a podcast, a weekly podcast, where they discuss money, millennials, and the intersection of the two, and basically anything that goes along with it. Would you like to say hi and introduce yourself, Steph?
Yes, hi, I'm Steph, and like a middle-aged money man said, I blog over at simplisticsteph.com. I run a podcast, and I am 26, and I live in Nashville, Tennessee right now.
Nashville. What's the weather like down there?
Hot. Always hot and humid.
We have a lot of rain up here at this point.
So at least you get a winter.
We do get a winter, and that's not always a blessing, I'm telling you right now. I don't think you own a snow shovel, do you?
No. I don't own that. I don't even own an ice scraper for my car. Oh, that's how little it happens. So we just use a spatula.
Spatula. Oh, good. Yes. You're like SpongeBob. Good. All right.
Yes, it works.
We are here to talk about, well, first of all, we're here to talk about, because we were discussing a little bit. I do hear you have a Boston Terrier, which I do have. So we have something in common. So your Boston Terrier is how old?
He is 9.
9. That's almost the same age as mine. I think mine's about 7. So we do have that in common. They're both not with us right now. We were discussing that before the interview because they are noisy dogs.
They breathe so heavily, so it's not a cute sound. It's not a cute background noise for podcasts, we decided.
We did decide that is not good for our listeners to have a Boston Terrier in the background, no. Also, this interview is going to be about student loan debt. So from speaking with Steph and looking into her background, at the age of 26, you have paid off nearly $40,000 in student loan debt, which
yes.
I'm going to applaud because
thank you.
That is tremendous.
Yes, it was not easy.
As a self-proclaimed money, you know, non-expert in money, I think you've already said that about yourself.
Yes, right? I'm very still very new with the whole money thing, getting finances in order. So I'm still amazed I paid off my student loans.
I think we can all say that we're non-experts, and even at my age, I can say I'm a non-expert. but one thing I wanted to discuss is how did you accumulate that? I mean, I know obviously they're student loans, but what type of schooling, what major, etc.?
Well, I went to a small state school because it gave me a scholarship. Thought I was being smart here. But whenever you're signing up for school and looking at your financial aid package, they throw in that you need $3,000 for transportation and you need $2,000 for food and $5,000 for books and $1,000 for miscellaneous. And at 18, I believed them. I was like, yeah, I will spend all this money. So I would actually take out an extra $5,000 a year to cover living expenses.
Mm-hmm. And believe it or not, I did the same thing.
It was not smart. At the time, though, I mean, everyone had student loan debt and everyone took out loans. So it seemed like I was really gaming the system there. So I took out almost $40,000 worth of student loan debt for a marketing and management degree at a state school.
Yeah, and I have to agree with you there. When you're going through it, they almost rope you in, like, hey, you can take this much out. And, you know, you may need this to live on. And I did the same thing. I took an extra few thousand out every semester. And you're not thinking about it at the time. You're a dumb college kid. And you're like, hey, I can get some extra money. And man, that slaps you in the face when you're done, doesn't it?
It does. But oh, at the time, you're like, whoa, I'm rich. I don't. And then the money doesn't even feel real since you don't have to pay it back for 4 years.
I know.
So it felt just like literally free money. And at 18, when you don't understand what an interest rate is, like, I never had a credit card at 18. I never dealt with debt. So, and at the TVs and college, everyone said it was good debt, take it on. So I was like, okay, sounds great to me.
I know. And they describe student loan debt as good debt. And it's kind of a double-edged sword. I mean, good debt and bad debt. It's good debt in the fact that you're gaining an education from it and, you know, it's really going to help your credit score and this and that. But I guess it depends on what you go to school for and what your earning potential is when you get out and, you know, what you're going to do with it in the long run. But yeah, you have to be smart with it while you're taking it out too, which neither of us obviously were.
We're not. I put everything on student loan debt. Going out to eat, vacations, I was really done with it.
Yeah. And then did you put this all, and you know, I read, obviously I follow your blog. Did you put this all on government loans?
No, of course okay. not. That would be the smart thing to do. I saw that the government loans, I mean, I didn't understand interest rates at the time. No one had told me what an interest rate was. I should have Googled it. So I took out like $10,000 on a 13% through Wells Fargo, and I had a Sallie Mae loan.
Mm. So 13%.
Oh, yes.
My stomach turns. Triple.
Oh, I know. I think it was about double my government loan interest. So if I had been smart then, I don't even want to think about how much money I would have saved.
Well, hindsight's always 20/20 at this point. But, you know, now they're paid off. And
they
now
are,
you don't
yes.
have to worry about them at all.
That's true.
Are you doing anything with your marketing degree at this point?
No, I mean, I landed a job in the financial sector, so it's sort of a business type job.
Okay.
But after college, I landed basically secretary work for $13 an hour. And I'm sure, like, when you went to school, everyone said, it's good debt. Your earning potential will increase. You'll make so much money after school. That was not the case for me.
Yeah, I mean, you go to school and you expect to come out and you expect to have 5 cars, a mansion, and, you know, just be making 6 figures right away. Absolutely.
Yes, yes. So everyone, all my friends and I thought we'd be making at least 60,000. And I started out making, I think, about 27,000 a year. Major reality check.
Yes. And is it because you couldn't find anything in your field, or you just were disenchanted with the field, or?
I climbed up at the company from a secretary. I ended up doing some of the sales and the marketing, and I did not enjoy it.
Okay.
So I jumped ship to do sort of insurance claim work, which it was all right. I liked the people there. I liked my boss and the people I worked with, but I didn't like the actual work. So then I recently jumped to a budget analyst role where I do like the work, but I don't really like the people. But I do enjoy the marketing, the business field, not so much the marketing side.
So you're in a predicament now where you're in the business field, you know, you're in the business world, and you kind of have to make a decision of you used to like the people, but not what you did. Now you like what you do, but not necessarily the people.
Correct.
Yes. So it's kind of like you can't have your cake and eat it too.
Right.
You know, you're almost...
Everyone. Yeah, it's ridiculous. But I know so many people out there that have their cake and eat it too. So I know there's a fit out there for me. I just haven't found it yet.
And that's what you strive for. And, you know, it's a lot of people are like, well, it's work. It's not supposed to be fun. But I don't believe that's true. I believe you can find something, especially at 26
yes.
years old. You know.
Yes, I have youth on my side, right?
Right, which I don't anymore, so I'm kind of stuck.
Oh,
where I'm
whatever.
No, I'm just kidding. But there is something out there where you can balance the two, absolutely. I mean, you're definitely not stuck in one place where, especially if you don't like the people, because believe it or not, you're around those people more than you're around your family, which is pretty sad these days in the work environment. But you really do have to deal with those people more than you have to deal with your family, more than, you know. And so that brings up another question is, do you think that that's more important? Do you think liking what you do is more important than liking the people that you do it with? Or is it the other way around?
I'm very surprised at myself. So I have learned that I'd rather have a good culture and hate the work than like the work and have a bad culture. I'm only about 2 months into my job, and I'm already trying to get out. And at my old job, I knew I didn't like the work, but I stayed for almost 3 years because I really enjoyed the culture. And being respected by a boss is so important to me. So I've learned the hard way that I much prefer a good culture versus enjoying the work.
And I think I would agree with you there. I think if your boss doesn't treat you right and you're not respected, then you are not going to perform the way you should, and you're not going to want to be there, and it's going to show. And I think you could love what you do, but if you're not respected there, you're not going to want to be there regardless. So I absolutely agree with that.
Yes, I didn't think I would feel that way. I thought I could put up with any culture, but I have learned I cannot.
I feel you there, totally. to use your words, definitely.
Oh, okay. I'm going to trademark that now.
Trademark
so now
it, copyright
$10.
It. I'll owe you a quarter. All right, so now, obviously, you came out of school, you had this mountainous student loan debt, okay? So, and you were making $13 an hour. So tell me, we all know that student loan debt, you know, being in debt, then you probably had other things going on. But how did that make you feel, you know, emotionally? I mean, you're young, you're still trying to have a social life. You're still trying to have this and that. You're working. I'm sure that's not what you really wanted to do coming out of college. But how did that make you feel like, oh my God, I'm out of college. I have this degree and now I'm making $13 an hour. I mean, what did that feel like emotionally? I mean, was that like crushing, or was it like, oh, I really don't care, you know, I'll get there someday, or how did that make you feel?
It was suffocating. It felt like I was drowning pretty much every time I thought about my student loan debt. And towards about the 6 month mark at my first job out of college, I realized I did not like that place. I needed to get out. And I just felt so stuck with all that student loan debt I had. And I felt like I couldn't make any moves in my life. Every decision I made was affected by student loan debt. I didn't go on any vacations. I felt just stuck at that really bad job because of student loan debt. So it was not a good feeling.
No, I can imagine. Okay. And to be, you know, in your early 20s and already feeling like you're stuck at a job to pay for something, you know, it has to be terrible. It has to be crushing.
It was, yes.
I can imagine. And then you're there for a while. I mean, you know, you're 26. You haven't been, I'm going to say this because I'm older. You haven't been out in the world very long.
I feel like I've been out here forever. I've seen some things, man. I've had some bad jobs. I've dealt with some stuff.
Oh, you're just starting. Trust me, you're just starting.
Oh, no.
You have your whole life ahead of you to have bad jobs. No, you're going to have great jobs. You're going to have great jobs. It seriously does take, and I'm kind of getting off track a little bit, but it does take getting a few of those terrible jobs to smack you in the face until you realize it, what the right job is. And you're going to find it because, you know, now you know what culture you like. So you're going to say, oh, well, when you go into those interviews now, you're going to know the questions to ask and you're going to know what to look for. And you're going to be able to turn a job down now that you say, this culture is not right for me.
Definitely.
So you have the tools now.
Yes. And being out of student loan debt gives you that freedom to turn a job down and to start looking and take a pay cut. So
absolutely.
It was
You have the freedom now.
I'm very proud of myself paying them off.
Yes. So what was, I mean, so you're at this job and you're being crushed by student loan debt. What was your, you know, rock to the head moment that said, I need to get out of student loan debt and get on the right path?
I was at work until about 7 o'clock one night, and my boss had thrown all these projects at me with no guidance or anything, and I was overwhelmed, I was stressed, so of course I was in my office all alone. Everyone had left already, and I had just been there about 6 months, and I was just bawling, and I was like, well, I need this job. I have so much student loan debt. I cannot leave this job. Even though it didn't pay very much, it was still a job. So that moment, 6 months into that awful job of being stuck with projects that my boss would just throw at me and then yell at me when they weren't right, even though no one told me what to do, I realized it was time to get those student loans paid off so I can move on to something that pays less, or just take a break or find something else.
Yeah. So that mountain of paperwork.
Yeah.
With no guidance.
Yeah. Just, hey, these go out tomorrow. And I was like, what? So, mm-hmm. Yeah. And like the other people in the office were just not helpful at all. They knew the job, and they could have just shown me in 5 seconds, hey, this is how you do it. But they had a very backstabbing shark mentality at that office. Okay. So it was rough.
So low person on the totem pole, we want to keep you there type mentality?
Yes, yes. Okay. Very much gaslighting, fear tactics to keep people from quitting. They would tell you like, oh, if you can't do this, you couldn't do any job out there. And when you're young, I was 22, 23 at the time, you're like, yeah, they're right. If I can't do this, I can't do anything.
That's not the way to manage people. I've been Correct. At jobs like that. Yes, I've been at jobs like that. And I was at a job like that for 16 years, believe it or not.
16
and,
years.
Yes.
Wow.
And you just get stuck in a job like that, and you do start to believe it. And
yes.
it's terrible. Yes. You get pigeonholed in that job, and you're almost like, well, you can't go anywhere else because nobody's going to want you. You know our systems. You do stuff for us. This is it. And, you know, that you're stuck here. And you start to believe it after a while, and you shouldn't. So good for you for getting out.
Definitely, yeah. Then I – oh, crap. Can't say that word. And then – so I jumped to a government job, and I really liked the people, the culture. It was – looking back, I did not like the work, and I wasn't challenged, and the pay wasn't great. But I didn't feel sick going into work. I looked forward to going into work. I didn't take a lot of vacation or sick days just because work was, it was fun. It was good to be there. So I was getting restless though. I wanted more pay. I went to school. I went to college to make a higher salary. So I told myself, okay, I need to start looking for more pay. And I jumped into this role where the culture is just awful, but it does pay more. So it's hard to balance.
Yeah. I was going to say that's a trade-off you need to consider, you know. Is the pay worth the culture?
Yes. And having if I still have the student loan debt, though, I couldn't even view that trade-off. It would just be, okay, a culture sucks, I need the job, just going to stay.
Yeah.
But paying off those loans gives me some freedom to step back and reconsider.
And that is a big takeaway from this. Paying off, you know, mortgage and student loans are normally the two biggest debts that you can have, you know.
Yes.
In your life. You know, and paying off student loans, which is the more realistic of the two, gives you a freedom that you wouldn't normally have, especially in your workplace, because it gives you the freedom to be able to have a choice of where you want to be. You're not stuck. You're not a slave to your job.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I'm glad you got to experience that.
Yes. Yes. I've been able to make some calculated risks. I even told myself if I don't like this new job, I'll just look for something else, even if it pays less. But I'm able to do that because student loans are gone. We were able to build up savings because we had no student loans, and we were able to build up investments. So paying off student loans, that one decision has compounded to even at 26, I now have more options than I did just 3 years ago because I paid off student loan debt and put that money to good use.
Right. And you're looking towards the future with investments, which is great. You're
not
just taking
that,
you're not just taking
that
extra money and buying some some Miller Lite.
Okay. Some of it goes there, but most of it to investments now. I've really cleaned up my finances because I've learned, as much as I like to say money doesn't matter, it does matter for freedom.
It does, yes.
It does, yes.
And I joke around with you, but just because I listen to your podcast, I know your little quirks and
I have a lot of
and buttons to push.
I'm very neurotic.
So, as you were planning this payoff of your student loan debt,
yes.
Just like you were going to school and you're like, I'm going to make this $60,000 a year. I'm going to have this great job and I'm going to have this and that. How green was the grass on the other side of this student loan debt payoff? I mean, was it like life is going to be great? I'm going to be stacking these piles of money now that I'm not going to have student loan debt. I mean, what was your vision of this?
I envisioned that I'd be able to have more freedom, but I live that student loan debt. It just scarred me. It put me in such a scarcity mindset of, okay, there's never enough money. I'll never have enough money. This student loan debt will be here forever. Even when I paid it off, I still carried that fear of money with me. And it made me afraid to make any big life-changing decisions or to really go crazy with money and to be more free. But, I mean, it does feel really good.
Yeah, you know, and a lot of people that I have talked to, even in forums and communities, say that, you know, once they have this student loan debt and they are so far down and, you know, they're paycheck to paycheck so long, even when they pay off the debt, they're still living that way because they're so gun shy.
Yeah.
And they're so afraid of going back to that place that they still don't use any of the money they have because it's like, you never know, and they're so used to living that way. It's just
yes,
habit. Yeah.
And we cling. I still cling to my job because I'm so afraid of. I mean, I'm so used to having so much debt. It's like I need this job, and it's hard for me to separate and move from fear-based to more abundance, more positive thinking of money, thanks to that student loan debt. So I thought when I paid it off, I mean, it felt great. Wasn't staying up at night, wasn't freaking out, wasn't working three jobs, but it still made me afraid of money and gun shy.
Yeah. And that's understandable. Cause I think it's just natural to be like that. I mean, the mentality of today's workforce is cling to your job because you never know.
Yes. And after the recession, were you in the workforce before the recession?
Yes.
Were jobs like this too? Were people just happy to have a job, or
yes.
Was it a little? Oh, really? So everyone says it's because of the recession, but if people were always like that, it makes me wonder.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, jobs. It was nice because, you know, you could switch jobs. I mean, people did switch jobs for money. It was very nice.
Yeah.
You know, you could actually. You could go and interview for another job and then go to your boss and say, hey, I have a job offer for this amount of money. Can you match it? Nope. Okay. See you. You know?
Oh, yeah.
It was actually kind of cool. And then once everything went to the crapper, it was like, they had the upper hand and it was like, you want to stay here? I actually took a 10%, it was a 10 or 12% pay cut at my one job, and I had to take it with a smile because it was like, okay, well, where else am I going to go?
Wow.
You know?
Wow.
Yeah. And they wouldn't match our 401k anymore, and they wouldn't do this or that. I mean, I went about 7 years without a raise. I had a 12% pay cut. They wouldn't match our 401k for years, and I stayed there because where else are you going to go?
Yeah, you know? That's the fear I have. I still get that fear of, oh, I have debt. I just have a mortgage now, and I have a car loan at 0% interest, but I don't have that student loan debt. I don't have anything with 13% interest like I did. So I would think that I'd be more free and more loose with money and able to take more calculated risks, but it's not. It's not like I thought it would be.
Yeah. So it's not always greener. It's not as green on the other side as you thought it would be, but
it's still green. Yeah, but it's not green. It's not as a fairy tale land as I expected.
Yeah.
I expected unicorns and
rainbows and unicorns and glitter.
Yes. It's just a nice green grass. With sometimes a rainbow.
Yeah, well, that's good. It's better than when you were in debt.
Yes, of course.
Better than clouds all the time.
Yes.
So, when you first started, did you have a plan? Did you do research? Did you just kind of throw money at it? I mean, or were you like the rest of us, you know, who just kind of had no idea how you were going to pay your student loan debts off? You know, did you do some research first, or did you just pretty much say, I'm going to throw whatever money I have at it?
I'm going to throw whatever money I had on it. I did the debt snowball, and I picked up a side job through my old boss, the one I did not like, but he offered me a side job, so I took it for money, and I worked my job. I did some overtime there, and then I would do dog sitting on the side.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so I do love dogs. It was a great job. I wish I could do that full time. But I took all that money and I did the debt snowball method. And luckily my 13% interest loan was the smallest amount, so I knocked that out, then moved up to the Sallie Mae loan, and then I tackled about the $20,000+ of government debt I had.
Okay. So the debt snowball method worked for you?
Did, yes.
Okay, good. I mean, I have used the debt snowball method. I've used the debt avalanche method. I mean, they're, you know, that's the pretty mainstream way to go. And
yes, keeps you motivated to
exactly.
have
one. Yes. When you see small victories like that, which really aren't small in your case, but.
Yeah, my loan debt was not small. Thank you for the reminder.
All right. And so did you have any... I know you had a big success, but did you have any little failures along the way to relate to anybody? I mean, I know in normal debt-free journeys, you have these setbacks, but I mean, you were intent on one main goal, your student loans. So did you have any, you know, major failures along the way?
Oh, definitely. So I had a dental problem, and that cost about $1,000. Which was pretty much our whole savings account. And the only reason I could afford to pay for the dental work in cash was because I got a small Christmas bonus from my boss. So I used all my Christmas bonus and half of our emergency fund for that. So there were a lot of times we were just getting by at $500 in savings, which was not smart, because after I paid off my student loan debt, literally right after, we had built it up to $1,000, our emergency fund, and my car completely died. Oh. So that's why I have a brand new car. I could have gotten used. Of course, there's smarter things, but the used car had a 2% interest rate. And now that I'm afraid of interest rates, I was like, nope, that's too much. So I got a 0% interest rate. But I wish that I had balanced saving a little bit more. That way I could have afforded to fix my car. Or buy a car in cash instead of that. So I would call that, I don't know if that's more of a failure, but hindsight's 20/20, where I wish I'd saved up a little bit more.
Right. And that's one thing that I kind of wish that I had done. You know, you have that little emergency fund, but I kind of wish I had put more in savings for things, because lately, you know, we've had vehicle problems left and right, and you just run out of emergency fund. Oh, it is expensive. Especially when
everything
you have kids.
Costs so much money. How many kids do you have?
Two.
Two?
Oh. Yeah. Teenagers. So
how old's the youngest?
She's going to be 13
all
next
teenagers?
Month. Well, she's going to be 13 next month, so
oh,
close
my
enough.
Gosh.
Yeah.
You are a dad of a teenage girl.
Girl, boy and girl, yeah.
Oh, man, it's about to get rough for you.
Yeah, and he's going to college next year, so it doesn't get any better. But we're not here to talk about me.
I know. I just love that you... okay. Back to me, then. The star of the show.
But there's, That is one thing that I wish that I had done, is put more into savings rather than throwing everything at debt, because it's, you almost forget about that part of it. And then when something does happen, you're like, oh, well, now I need to use my credit card, or now I need to use this because I don't have enough in savings. So
I know. I don't think $1,000 in savings is enough. Even with my debt accruing interest, I wish that I'd put more money.
Right. And now you look back on it and you can realize that, but you want to get through that debt as quick as possible.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
What did that, so you're paying off your student loan and, you made that final payment. What was going through your head? What did it feel like?
Oh, it was great. It was around Christmas time, and Christmas is my favorite holiday. Yeah. So I had a little bit of Christmas money left from my grandparents, and my husband's parents sent us a little bit of Christmas money. And I used all that plus a little bit from our savings to pay it off, and it felt great.
Nice. There was your Christmas present all wrapped up.
Exactly. It was just, and winter's my favorite season. Christmas is my favorite holiday. It was just so fitting.
You don't have snow. You don't have snow. Christmas can't be like it is here.
we don't have.
You're
snow.
Walking around in shorts, and it's just not the same.
Yes, actually, it is not the same. I will agree. But I do watch Christmas movies on the TV with snow, so I feel like I'm getting it.
All right, I'll send you a snowball.
That'd be great. All melted in the box, wet. I'll take it.
The other, the next question I have is kind of corny, but if you could jump into a hot tub time machine and do it all over again, would you do anything different?
Well, we kind of already touched on it. I would build up my savings more.
Yes. Okay. We did kind of touch on that. That is one major thing, and I agree with you there, because the emergency fund, I don't think you can have a big enough emergency fund. I mean, when there's an emergency, there's an emergency.
Exactly.
Okay.
So I wish that I had built up an emergency fund a little bit more, and I wish that I had allowed myself to jump jobs sooner. It might have delayed my student loan payment, but I would have been able to jump into a field that would have grown my skills, or I could have even liked it more. I wish I had been a little more risk taking, even with student loan debt.
Mm. Okay.
Those are my
two
things I wish I had done differently.
Two regrets, if you will.
Yes.
Okay. And then if you had one takeaway for our listeners, for my listeners, I guess I'm a lone wolf here. For my listeners, for my listeners, about student loan debt in general, what would it be?
Mm-hmm. It would be that no matter your salary or where you are in life, it is possible to pay them off sooner than the 10-15 year payment. It takes a lot of sacrifice and a lot of hustle, but there is a light at the end of the tunnel. I never thought I'd pay mine off before the 10-year mark hit, and I did it in under 3 years.
Nice. I like that. Light at the end of the tunnel.
Yes, there always is. You're always one. Every penny you add is one penny closer to not having that stupid student loan debt.
I'm going to go back to your website and your podcast. I'm going to let you plug those, and I'm going to let you go in just because we're at the end of the interview here. So, and I know it's early where you are. And
yes, I woke up before noon for this, everyone.
She the butt crack of noon. She's up.
I know. He's the only one I'd get out of bed before noon for. So you're welcome.
I found a quote on your website, on your about page, where you describe yourself as, I am not the kind of person that sets goals and completes them. I am the kind of motivated individual that sets goals, has one misstep, and then forgets them. Do you remember
typing
that?
Yes, that is me. that is my, I'm all about that. That is my slogan.
If I set a goal and then I don't meet it.
Yeah, really. My autobiography, that's the synopsis on the back of the book.
And I love
but
that.
I'm just not I'm so go with the flow. I'm not very proactive. I'm always like, oh, well, it'll happen eventually. Mm-hmm. But with student loan debt, it was one of the things that I just could not physically and emotionally be in anymore. So I set a goal and I met it.
Good. And I'm glad you did.
Pretty much first time.
And you're a great example for all of the listeners out there who want to deal with student loans. And if you have any other questions, please visit Steph's website, Simplistic Steph. I'm going to let her plug it. I'm going to let her plug her podcast because I do love her podcast with Eric. I listen to it all the time. It's great. They have a great back and forth. And her website and Eric's website are wonderful. So go ahead, go away and plug them.
Okay. Yes. Well, Middle Age Money Man said, I blog at simplisticsteph.com. I talk mostly about improving my relationship with money, advancing my career, and of course the debt payoff story. And then I recently kicked off a podcast, Simple Minded Millennial Podcast, where I talk more about mindset work and how that relates to money and career advancement. I do it with my co-host Eric, who is the mastermind from themastermindwithin.com. And that's what I pretty much do in my spare time now.
Awesome. And like I said, I love everything they do. It's very entertaining. I think I was quoted as saying it was mindless entertainment, which is great.
That is.
Because
the critics have spoken.
And I meant that in the best possible way, because there are so many personal finance shows out there and blogs that are so dry and so businesslike and just, you know, it's not entertaining anymore. And, you know, I sit there at work and you guys just entertain me, which is awesome, you know, but yet you get something out of the show. That's what I meant. It's like, you don't have to sit there. You don't have to sit there and be like, oh, you know, and thinking about it all the time. It's just, you just let the show flow and it's great.
Plus, you know which co-host is talking because one's a female, one's a male. Whenever I listen to like two females or two males, I'm like, who is this? Which one's talking? I'm so confused. So you're welcome, everyone. We break it down for you.
Awesome. And I really appreciate you being on the show. And,
yes, it's great. Thank you so much.
And getting up for me, getting out of bed. And
yes.
Glad this wasn't a video podcast.
Same.
And again, that's Steph from...
Was like, are you going to put on... are you gonna put on real clothes? I was like, no.
No, we don't put on real clothes here at the podcast. No, absolutely.
We don't. Not in the podcast.
Never.
HQ.
Never. SimplisticSteph.com and again, Simple Minded Millennial is the name of their podcast. Definitely go check that out. Thank you very much. I appreciate it again.
Yes, thank you, everyone.